If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I encourage you to take your Bibles and follow along as we read from God's Word. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Here Paul says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If correctly read, that's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And the phrase that's on my mind this morning is the phrase found there in verse 10 where it says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I remember there was a book Rick Warren had written, The Purpose-Driven Life, and it was a good book, and it's something good for you to look at and to try to help you see, you know, what we need to be doing here in this lifetime. But if you want it spelled out individually, if you want to know what your purpose is in life, it's found right here. So if you feel like you're kind of wandering around, and I've been that way before, where I just felt like, what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? I don't feel like I'm getting God's blessings. I don't know, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? It's right here in God's Word. And we're not going to find it where it says, Marty Mullis, here's what you need to do. Wendell, you need to do. It's the same thing, and it's right here in God's Word for you and for me. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a song leader. It doesn't matter if you're a parent. It doesn't matter if you're a grandparent. It doesn't matter if you're a five-year-old child. God's Word explains to you and tells you exactly what works we are supposed to be doing. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us that we were created. You and I were created. Sometimes we wonder, well, why in the world, God, why did you put us here in this world? Brothers and sisters, those that have been born again, those whom God has quickened, we are to do good works. Amen. And we have a responsibility that we are to be doing good works. Does the Bible talk about benefits of working, both naturally, in a natural sense, and in a spiritual sense, us doing good works? Does God tell us about the benefits of us working? I can remember growing up, and any of you that are my age or any of you that have ever had my daddy ask you to come over and help him with something, you hear that, and sometimes when I heard the word work growing up, and even yesterday as we were at their house, when I'd hear him wanting to do something, you know what my natural instinct is to turn and go the other way, because I know he's about to get me to do something that I don't want to do. How many of us kind of turn and shun, and when we want to run away and shy away from doing work in a natural sense? But I'm here to tell you, we do the same thing in a spiritual sense. God has told you and He's told me, here's what you're supposed to be doing. And my question to you this morning is just for us to each one ask, for me to ask myself and for you to ask yourself, am I doing what God made me to do? And before we go any further, let's make clear about the order of events here in Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of times, you know, we think that these works, some people teach that the works that we do are what save us. Or the works that we do, whether it's accepting Jesus, any work that it is, that it's because we accepted Jesus or we did the works and then Jesus let His salvation be completed in us. But if you'll go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, beginning in verse 1, here Paul says, And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Is there a difference in the way that you and I need to be walking once God comes in and quickens you and I? Before we were born again, we walked according to this world. And that's what God expected us to, because we were, every one of us, no matter how cute these young children are, every one of us were born dead in trespasses and sin. We had no godly spirit in us. And it was not until He came in and He put His spirit and implanted His spirit, He quickened us. It was not until that time that we then had a choice of how to walk, whether we walked according to the course of this world, which is according to the natural man, or whether we then started following after Jesus and doing those works that God has created us to do, that He has called us to do. It was not until that time that we had the opportunity. And it's not until God implants His spirit in you that you then have the ability to do a good work, that you even have a desire to do a good work, much less the ability and the serving grace to go out and do that good work. So I know that we all know that, but I just wanted to make that point that our eternal salvation is not based on your works or my works. It's not based on the preacher's work. It's not based on the work of the Word of God. It's based on one man's work, and that's Jesus Christ. that perfect sacrifice and him being willing to die on the cross and shed his blood for your sins and for my sins. So I wanted to make that point, but it also tells us, the text says that we are created unto good works. It doesn't say that we are created and that we will do good works. It's saying here that we are created and that we should do good works. Now, there are some that preach and teach that we're going to persevere, that all the saints of God will hear and obey the Word of God. But that's contrary to what God's Word says. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, is saying that you hath He quickened. And then dropping down into verse 10, it says, "For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we what? Should walk in them." You and I need to be walking with God. We need to be doing the good works that He has created and commanded for us to be doing. The first thought that came to my mind as I was reading this is, well, how do we know what the works are that we were created to do? And until you know what the good works that you need to do, it's kind of hard to go out and do them. Well, so the first question that I asked myself during the week as I was studying was, how can I find out what the works are that I need, the good works that I need to be doing? Where can I go to find out? We've already said, go right here. The Word of God says that we need to search the Scriptures. That's in John chapter 5:39. Jesus says, search the Scriptures. If you want to know what good works you need to be doing, and again, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, there are good works. Did you know that even these folks that are at the nursing home, did you know that they can't get in a car and go drive to work and go to a secular job and work? But did you know that most of them are doing more works for God's glory than you and I are? So it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're a parent or a grandparent. We need to be working. We need to be out doing those good works that God has created us to do. So how do we know what the good works are that God wants us to be doing? Jesus says, search the Scriptures. Also in John, that was in John 5:39, also in John 8:31, God's Word says that we are to continue in His Word. To continue in something, you had to have already been in it. But you and I need to make sure that we continue in God's Word. I think of Brother Bill Durrance, and I've always, over my 30 or 40 years, I have always been amazed at the ability that Brother Bill has to memorize Scriptures. I've watched him, I think, go through an entire sermon and be able to quote every verse, word for word, in the message that he used. Now, how did that happen? Did it just happen that way that, hey, God just drilled a hole and drilled that and put that knowledge in there and that ability to memorize? It took work. It took work. And how do you think that he worked at doing that? Where was he going? He was searching the Scriptures. And not only did he search the Scriptures, he stayed in them. He continued in them. So, brothers and sisters, I beg of you, the first thing that you and I need to do in order to know what God wants you to do, the work that He has called you to do, the work that He has called me to do, is we need to search the Scriptures. And then we need to stay in them. Several months ago, I spoke here and I talked about us being steadfast. We need to be steadfast in the Scriptures. Turn quickly over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Here Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I don't understand. And I debated folks about the purpose that God has put us here for and different things. I don't know, and I can't explain to you why God made us here, why He then allowed Adam and Eve to fall. Okay? To me, that's where us having to work, whether it has to do in the natural way, but the things that we have to do, I don't understand that. But God's Word says here, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Did you know that your life, the way that you live your life, whether it's in a positive way, whether it's in a godly way, whether it's according to God's Word, did you know that that has an impact on those about you? Here Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We need to be doing good works. Turn quickly over to Titus here in the New Testament. Titus chapter 1. Here in Titus chapter 1, I'm going to begin with the last verse in verse 16. And then I want to read down through verse 7 in chapter 2. Here again, Paul is the writer. He says, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him." Can our works deny Him? Did Peter, think back to Peter, did Peter deny Christ? We can sit there and say, "Oh, Peter, shame on you, shame on you." How many times have you and I denied Christ? Not necessarily by the words that come out of our mouth, but by our works, by the works that we're doing. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Come down now to the start of chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Do we need to be speaking sound doctrine? Not just in the church, but whenever we're witnessing and testifying out in our daily walks, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. As I study God's Word, I'm convinced that the one thing that the church is missing is love. Not just for those to the household of faith to which we belong, but the love that we show others with those that we come into contact with. Love, charity. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. As we go through and you start and you look at good works, there's most of the time somewhere in that passage of Scripture is going to talk about teaching. Verse 4 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Brothers and sisters, many times God's people, certainly the children of Satan, but God's own people, we come up with ways and we devise ways and we come up with new rules or new laws. I was debating somebody this past week and they came back at me and said, well, it's the law of the land, so if it's the law of the land, it's fine. Now think about that. We were kind of debating about abortion and he said, well, you know, it doesn't matter what God's word said. He says, our Supreme Court has ruled that abortion is okay. And because his point was that because of the Supreme Court said it was, or Congress passed a law, then it was okay. Do you see the fallacy in that? To take a step back, is it important that we elect godly men and women that have rule over us? I had a preacher that said it didn't matter. Our rulers, it didn't matter what they believed. It didn't matter if they were godly men or not. That he still believed in God and trusted in God. The Old Testament is full of examples. We need to choose wise and godly men. Works. Here in Titus, drop down to, we're in the second chapter, verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And verse 7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. What does that mean to be it for us to show a pattern of good works? Can anybody just tell me what does it mean to show a pattern of good works? All the time. It's not just doing it one time and saying, oh, back in 1983 when I was a sophomore in college, I did a good job by going out to the nursing home and bringing folks to church. Is that what it's about? That I can just quote something that back in 1983 I did something? No. No. Brothers and sisters, a pattern of good works. That's repeating it over and over. Brother Travis was giving my little girl advice on how to, we're trying to train a Labrador retriever right now. And that retriever has got a lot of mullus in it. You know what I mean by that? It's hard-headed. That little puppy is hard-headed. And Olivia Kate asked him a couple of weeks ago to give her about 5 good tips on how to train that dog. And almost in every one of the examples that he gave him and gave her advice on how to train that puppy, it's repetitiveness. It's repetitiveness. It's a pattern. And the works that you and I are supposed to be doing, we need, as it says here in verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So we need to be showing a pattern. As I mentioned, it doesn't matter what your walk in life is. It doesn't matter what you're called. Think back to the parable of the talents. Each of you have different talents than I might have. I might have different talents than you might have. But what did Jesus teach in that parable of the talents? Regardless of what your talent is, what was the crux of the lesson there was you better be using that talent. You better be working with that talent that God has given you. Why? Because if you do, did Jesus show that if you take those talents and you go out and grow and you work, you develop a pattern with those talents, you use those things that God has blessed you with, what did he say? If you do it, what am I going to do to you? He gave him more talents. Gave him more blessings. And brothers and sisters, I'm not going to lift up this church and I'm not going to give you undue praise that I don't think that is due you. This church, for the size of this church, I don't know of a church anywhere in America that does the works that this church does. You're an example for other churches to be like. Now listen, I'm sure that we could go around to each of you and we could talk about some faults that this church has. There are people on the outside that can talk about faults that you and I as individuals have, or that others, that things that we're not doing. So you know what? Don't, when I say that, when you hear your preacher say, I'm thankful that y'all are doing this, or I'm thankful that you're doing that, do you know that God is blessing this church? There's no doubt in my mind that God is blessing this church 30 years later for a little old station wagon driving out to Baptist Village to pick up Sister Blanche Honecker and Sister Matthews, and I forget the German lady's name. But anyhow, 30 years ago, station wagon, and I'm sure they thought, here come the Clampets riding down the road with those wheelchairs strapped on the top of the station wagon. Look at what the church has now. A nice bus that can go out and pick up. And I honestly believe that if we had to pick a row of people. Now, I love my family. My grandmother, my aunt, my sister, and my cousin are all in one row. But if I wanted to pick one row of people that bring more to the service. Now, naturally speaking, some of them can't talk, and they may not be able to speak, and you understand it. But if you want to see a group of people, one row of folks trying to worship God and who put forth a lot more effort, a lot more work to make it to God's house, it's this front row down here. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the men that over the years have carried on with going out and bringing these folks from regardless of what nursing home they're coming from. You add a great blessing. And if it weren't for the work of the men that were willing to go out and pick them up and bring them to church, we would be losing a great blessing. So thank you for that work that y'all continue to do. Parents, is the Bible full of instruction on works that we need to be doing? Parents, let me ask you again, and I'm not going to go for the sake of time. I'm not going to enlighten you on anything. Oh, man, we were supposed to be doing that. I haven't been doing it. This is to remind you of what you already know you're supposed to be doing. Parents, instruct your children. Raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach your children the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. It doesn't tell me to teach them to go out and get the best, highest GPA when they graduate high school. The Bible does instruct us to make sure that they go to college and further their education. The Bible says that we are to be teaching them the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I am to be making my children memorize Scriptures. Parents, are you working with your children? Are you teaching them? Are you instructing them? Are you raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Husbands, you know, obviously God knew that husbands, one of the biggest things that we lack, if there was one word that you had to say that a man has a hard time with, now they're not our faults, okay, if there's, because we could spend the rest of the day talking about the men's faults. I'm talking about if there's one word, if you say, what's the one word that God's Word says over and over to husbands with their wives? Love. Love. I need to tell my wife I love her, but you know what my wife loves a lot more than to hear Marty say, Brandy, I love you. She enjoys it when I show it. Husbands, we are instructed over and over. You want to know the good work that husbands are supposed to be doing? Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Husbands, love. Wives, what's the one word that you can think of? The work, and these are all works that God's Word says that we're to be doing. Wives, what's the hardest thing? Now, this is answers for the women. Maybe we ought to ask the men, because I think I heard more women. The ladies. What's the hardest word, and it starts with an S just to help you out? Submit. Now, listen, in the secular world, in my job, I know that there are a lot of things that I can come, we as men have, or we as a human race have come up with that women can do a lot of things in the workforce better than men. That's true. That's true. But what does God's Word say? What does God's Word say? We can argue all we want. We can say, and I think this was Oprah Winfrey did an interview, and I just was appalled that we've reached this point. And people, I've heard Daddy warn for years, and I've heard other preachers warn for years about what's coming in America. I actually heard a preacher, a Baptist preacher, state, and I won't even try to remember what his name was, state that the modern day church cannot be influential. It cannot be relevant. I want you to listen to this. The church, the modern day church, cannot be relevant if it's relying on words and a book that was written 2,000 years ago. Now let that sink in. Let that sink in. When the Bible was written 2,000 years ago, how old was the Old Testament when the Bible was actually written? It was just as relevant 2,000 years ago as it is today. And I'm here to tell you an exact opposite of what that preacher said, is if the church does not continue in the Word, if the church doesn't continue to search the Scriptures, the church will become irrelevant. Amen. You want to know, we can ask ourselves, what's wrong with the church? So I'm having to ask myself, what am I doing? What am I not doing according to God's Word? So you know what the first thing I need to ask God for wisdom. I need to ask God, because I can read it and I can quote the Bible, but if I'm not asking for wisdom to go with that knowledge, it's not going to do us any good. We need to know what God's Word says as far as the works. We've been created into good works. Wives, submit. Children, what does the Bible tell you to do as children? Did you know that even I just celebrated my 47th birthday. Did you know that I'm still to honor my father and my mother? Does God's Word put an age limit on it? Did you know that my daddy still needs to honor my grandmother, his mother? Honor. Children, honor your mothers and your fathers. Church members, just turn quickly over to Hebrews. Church members, are there works that you as church members need to be doing? And I actually emailed or tried to post something. I'm not real computer literate. I want you to know that the works that this church is doing, you're not letting your light, you're not hiding your light. You're letting your light shine. And over the years, there have been many of you that have contributed to different things. But did you know that you were helping? Each one of you are helping. But Brother Terry Leach, I appreciate. I live 75 miles from here. But did you know that sometimes I can't be here every Sunday. And it's been about 2 months since I've been here. I've missed being at church. But one night this past week, I got home. It was about 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And I was on the computer. And I saw a posting that Brother Terry had put up. And it was the singing, it was church congregational singing of Blessed Assurance. And did you know that I sat there and I wept at about 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night, just listening. Singing, is that a work? I love coming to this church. Other folks from other cities, that when they come to church camp, they talk about the Waycross Church because of even the youth, how it's not everybody hitting the right note. I'm telling you, I do like to hear us hit the right notes. But did you know that God's more pleased with what's in our hearts and what's in our minds as we're singing? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Church members, do you have a responsibility to be in some working, to be doing some working? And we're going to have to go fast here to try to finish up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast. Do you remember that steadfast? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another. Let us think about each other to provoke unto love and to good works. Do I need to be out trying to encourage you? Do you need to be encouraging me to do good works? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Last Sunday I tried to speak in Tifton on worship. And there are a lot of times that I've tried to use this. Daddy, I can worship God on the golf course just as good as I can in the house of God. Now let me make this clear. I can worship. Did you know that I can worship God on the golf course? Did you know that you can worship God when you're out hunting and fishing? Did you know that you can worship God when you're out shopping? Did you know that you can worship God in doing all the things that you like to do? But here in verse 25, we're commanded not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I can't on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, on Sunday night, whatever time the church meets, did you know that you have a place to be? If you're a part of this church, there's a place reserved, and it's not necessarily one of these pews, but it's somewhere in this house reserved for you to be here. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. So one of the works we've already heard in verse 24 is that we need to provoke unto love as the manner, but not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Did you know that you and I need to be exhorting one another? I need exhorting sometimes. I get discouraged sometimes. And you know whose responsibility is? It is to pick me up? My brothers and sisters. Listen to the rest of verse 25. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So we need to be teaching and we need to be admonishing one another. Don't think that you don't have something to do here in the church. Whether you may not have a title. In every colony, if you look at bees, if you look at ants, does everybody have their own job to do? And we can look at these bodies. Some of us are the fingers. Some of us are the hands. Some of us are of the arms. What good are my fingers if I don't have my arms? What good are my toes if my leg's not attached to my body? Every part of the church, every member, I don't care how educated or uneducated. I don't care what your job in this life is. I don't care how young you are. Sometimes, and I'm going to state this, and he's not a member of the church. We have a 3-year-old boy in the church in Tifton. Sometimes I see the Spirit of God in that little 3-year-old boy more so than I do many others that have greater wisdom than he does. When he's standing up on that pew and he tries to see, he's singing it. He can't read the words. He doesn't know what the words are. But when he's standing there, I believe this with all my heart. He is trying to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We have a work to do. You were created to do good works. This isn't do the works because the preacher said to. This isn't do the works because your mom and daddy told you to. This is saying, Ephesians says, do the works because you were created. And you were ordained before the world began that you should walk in them. We need to know the scriptures. We need to pray for grace to go out and do the works. It's one thing to know it. Most everybody in here knows what they're supposed to be doing. How many of us are doing it? I stand before you to say that I have not worked like I needed to work. Work. And I'm going to caution you. There's two things that will happen. If God does bless you to have the knowledge to know what works you need to be doing, and then God gives you the grace to go out and fulfill and carry out those good works, don't sit back and kind of, man, look what I've done. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he stood back and he said, look what I've done? Had Nebuchadnezzar worked to get what he had gotten? Yes. But what did God do to Nebuchadnezzar? He brought him down. Not because he had done the good works, but because he had gotten vain in his own pride. Two things are going to happen if you do go out. If God blesses you with the knowledge and then blesses you with the ability to go out and carry out and do those good works, Satan's going to hit you with a double-barrel shotgun coming at you wide open. Both barrels blazing. Because here's what's going to happen. Either one of two things normally happens. Normally, we develop a Pharisaical attitude. Normally, when I'm blessed with success, I develop a mightier-than-thou attitude to where I look down my nose at other people. So I want to caution you on two fronts. One, don't think more highly of yourself. 1 Corinthians says that Apollos has watered, is watering a work. Who was it else that had planted? I have planted, Apollos has watered, okay? Is planting and watering, is that a work? But who does the blessing? God does. It doesn't matter what kind of thing you do. I've gone to the nursing home before, and I've walked away. I don't know that I've ever walked away without feeling God's blessings from going to the nursing home to visit. But you know, sometimes we do works. We can do vain works. God's Word talks about us doing vain works. But did you know that if we do anything, if I do anything and you get a blessing out of it, do you know who's given the blessing? God has. Please remember that. Think about the Pharisee that went in the temple to pray. Did he sit there and talk about what he had done? Did he think more highly of himself? How far did that prayer get? Nowhere. Think about Mary and Martha. Whenever Jesus had come into their home, was Martha working? Was Martha working? She was encumbered about. She was doing this and she was doing that. She was working. What was Mary doing? Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And what happened to Martha? Martha was a child of God. She was a child of God, and she was working. She was doing good works. What did Martha say? Jesus, look at what all I'm doing. I'm working. She's down. She's sitting around doing. She's not doing anything. Did Jesus rebuke her for that attitude? Good works. Are we doing them for the right purpose? Just 1 minute on the blessings of Jesus. The blessings whenever we do good works. Does God promise us that He will give us blessings? I can't tell you when He's going to bless you. I want to use this example. This week, most of you know that have been here for more than 30 years. When I lived here with Mom and Daddy, I did trapping. And Brother Larry Sapp, bless his heart, he taught me so much about trapping, and he taught me so much about life. He didn't realize he was teaching me, and the things that he was teaching me would have an impact on my life 40 years after he was teaching, 35 years after he was teaching me those things. But it took me work. I had to work to try to catch these animals. And it took me 2 years before I finally caught my first fox. It took me 3 or 4 years for me to finally catch my first bobcat. But did God bless me for my work? It may have taken 2 years. It may have taken 4 years to catch those things. Now, I'm jealous because I'm here to tell you that about 2 weeks ago, my children said, "Daddy, I want you to teach us how to trap." And the first week that we set traps, we caught 4 gray fox and one of the biggest bobcats I've ever caught. Now, I've got to warn my children now to say, "Look, you've gone out and you did the work. It took me 2 years. It took you 1 week." First of all, we need to thank God when God does bless us immediately, because there is there gratification. Can you remember as a child when your parents told you, "Mike, you did a good job"? Can you ever remember a time when your daddy told you in the shop, "Mike, you did a good job"? Brother David, when your boss would come to you out at the railroad and say, "David, we appreciate what you're doing." The biggest blessing I think we can get out of all from God is to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Have you ever heard Jesus? Did you know that we're not going to hear that at the end of this time world? We don't have to worry about whether we've been good or bad at the end of this time world. That's taken care of. But when God comes and judges you from time to time while you're alive, He's going to say to you, He's going to say one of two things: "Marty, well done," or "Marty, depart from me." And I promise you that it is much more enjoyable to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or He might say, there was another phrase, and He says, "Come and inherit the kingdom that I prepared for you." That kingdom is not a kingdom we have to look forward to at the end of this time world. That's a kingdom that you and I can enjoy right now. And the only way we can enjoy that kingdom of heaven that Jesus has prepared is for us to do the good works that God has ordained that we should walk in them. In closing, I want you to think about this. And I didn't see this. Actually, I'll give credit where credit is due. Me and Brandy were talking about things, and I'm thankful for my wife. And I know that my daddy's thankful for his wife, because I've sat around for years and listened. Who do you think helps him? Now, Daddy does a lot of work, but who helps Daddy prepare his sermons? Mama does. And one night we were talking this week, and I was asking for Brandy's input and asking her about something. And she said, "Well, what about, in closing, if you talk about the working, what happens whenever you work? When you go out and exert yourself really hard and you work really hard, what happens to these natural bodies?" Get tired. Turn in closing to Matthew chapter 11. Brothers and sisters, we're going to get tired. We're going to get tired naturally in our natural bodies when we work, and sometimes we're going to get tired doing the good works that God has created us into. And I want you to hear Jesus' promise to us when you do get tired. This is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me," Jesus is saying, "come unto me, all ye that labor," folks that are doing good works, you're laboring. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You don't want to know what that rest is? That's enjoying the kingdom of heaven, that righteousness, that peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." Do you want to make things easier? Are you tired? "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Learn, what was one of the things we talked about? We need to be searching the Scriptures. We need to continue in His Word. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God help us bless His Word is my prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.